This is the Brian Hayes Show on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, putting suckers in beer, making the tears rain down like a monsoon.
Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition, I'm towering.
There is no better music. TSN 1050. Oh boy, the Brian Hayes Show. Sports Center invading once again. Derek Taylor and Kara Wagland featuring the tunes of LL Cool J. What's he now? CSI Miami Cyber Underground? What's his deal? Oh, NCIS.
Hey, how about I use the mic?
NCIS
he's
something.
He's hosting that lip sync battle, isn't he? Have you not heard about this show? It's right up your alley.
Oh, I stopped paying attention to that once. What's his name? Did Janet Jackson.
Channing Tatum was on the other day, and he dressed up in full Beyonce.
Okay.
And then Beyonce or Bey came out, and they did the whole, like, it was, and he was going up against his wife, who's also, like, a professional dancer, and
okay.
She did his Magic Mike pony. Genuine. It was epic. It was really good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing Janet Jackson.
Oh, I didn't see it.
That was the end. That was the mic drop. It's over. He did Rhythm Nation, and that was the end. It's a lip sync battle. It is priceless.
I wonder if they let SportsCenter hosts do that, because that would be.
I feel like
you and I could really represent.
Do you figure? You figure we'd be like crisscross, jump, jump?
Yeah, we could totally.
Absolutely.
Okay, I actually did a crisscross rendition when I was in. I don't know. I don't want to say how old I am when Crisscross came out, but it was in my youth. Backwards pants and everything.
So like 10 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
When you were a young lass.
Yes.
Of 15 or 12. I don't even know. I'm just making up numbers. I'm not good at math. Hey, it's the Brian Hayes Show, and things we will not talk about today include who won the MLS Super Draft. Yeah, we're not talking about that. Is Chris Jones the Chip Kelly of the CFL? We will not talk about that. And 10 new things about Deflategate number 6 will stun you. Not talking about that on the Brian Hayes Show, because we got a ton of good stuff. Wags is all about baseball. There's plenty of Jays news and Jays news to come. Very important Jays news to come. The Leafs taking on the Blackhawks tonight. We're going to have James Duthie in a little later. Probably force him to talk a little hockey with us. Just because that's how we roll.
Of course.
Jay's doing some signings today. I don't know why they're even bothering, because they're not making the playoffs. Nothing good is happening there. Come on.
Yeah. I'm trying to be positive. I went on a little bit of a negative journey there over the last few months.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm trying to be positive to the extent of I still don't think that they're going to do as well as they did last year. But
no chance.
Hey, I'll still watch games.
And this is just a double kick in the nads for Wags. Pittsburgh saying today Antonio Brown is out. D'Angelo Williams, their backup running back, who is pretty darn good, is out.
He's out.
Ben Roethlisberger, very much unhealthy.
He's going to play because he's Ben.
Exactly.
But
they virtually, like, this is just time to wave the white flag, give that Sunday late game to Denver.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning is not in good health either, but I mean, if Ben Roethlisberger plays, just throwing this out there, I'm afraid he could die, because Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware on an unhealthy Ben Roethlisberger who doesn't have his Antonio Brown, forget it.
It's going to be ugly what this Denver defense is going to do to Big Ben and to the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
We'll have a lot of NFL talk. We'll talk the 4 divisional matchups coming up a little later on. Mitch Berger is going to join us, and we have some juicy Mitch Berger. It's not exactly gossip, because people...
We did a little Googling ahead of the show.
Yeah, people... We have some Mitch Berger Googling to talk about, because it's very entertaining.
We like interesting facts.
Absolutely. Yeah. He played for a lot of teams in his career.
He really did.
He had a stint with the Vikings, but then you go through and you just see, he won a Super Bowl here. And then it was, you know, a guy who just went around and knows many cities and now is settled down in the Vancouver area. Mm-hmm. A Kamloops, BC boy.
Yeah.
Which warms my heart as I spent 6 years there, 1 5-month span, because, you know, beautiful country.
6 years there, 1 5-month
span. In a 5-month span.
Okay.
It just seemed like a long time.
I thought you said that.
When you're building a career, you're like, I just want the next step. When you're younger, right? Everything you want is, I want the next step.
It felt like 6 years.
When is the next thing coming?
Yes.
And it was really only 5 months before I was off. And now I've rocketed to superstardom because I know people like Kara Wagland and can text her and have specialty ringtones on my phone with Kara Wagland name on it.
Oh.
So I have not seen you
It's been a while.
In forever. Since 2015. It's been a year since I've seen you.
It has been.
And it's going to be another year before I see you next time because you and I don't work together anymore.
Well, they finally learned their lesson that you and I together was just not a good idea for anybody.
Yeah, not great. Yeah, how is it? The 5 p.m. edition of SportsCenter.
It's new. It's
fun.
It's
a new thing. What's it?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's a really fast-paced show. We're doing a lot of fun things, and it's really kind of off the cuff, and I get to talk to a lot of cool people, and it's been a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Michael Landsberg drops by with some contributions, which is fantastic.
He drops by with some great guests, and yeah, it's I'm not a vampire anymore. I'm working daytime hours and sleeping at night like normal people. It's crazy.
Can I just say, there to me, nothing worse than working daytime hours. I don't know how you guys feel, but to me, it's nighttime or bust.
When you're not used to it. I mean, so working in this industry, I've always worked at night because all the games are at night.
We work when other people are not working. Exactly.
Exactly. And then prior to that, I bartended for 8 years, which was also at night. So I haven't worked a daytime job in a very, very long time. So once you get used to the nights, it's kind of nice. Or having, you know, the main thing I hear from people is, well, you don't have your weekends off. Well, why would I want weekends off when everybody's out trying to get their stuff done? It's a nightmare.
Exactly.
I want to go out on a Monday afternoon when no one else is out, get in, get out, get my errands done.
Help me out if you've seen the same perception. When I work at nighttime, people say, oh, you sleep till noon? And they say it like you're kind of lazy.
You kind of are, though.
Well, absolutely. I sleep till 2, but I'm awake till 7. But when I worked morning times, when I did a show from 4 a.m. till noon, people thought that was just heroic. Oh, how do you get up so early? It's all the same thing. It's all you're at work. It's all you're at work for 8 hours, and you hopefully sleep for 8 hours, and you have 8 hours in the middle. It's all the same. Like, I'm heroic for getting up at 2 in the afternoon, or I'm as much of a schlub for sleep until 3:05.
I couldn't do the 4 a.m. show. Nothing worse to me in life than having to wake up early, which is probably why I've worked nights for so long.
It takes some getting used to. There was about a 6-month span there where I couldn't think, and you know, those things wouldn't come to my words. They wouldn't come to mind immediately, right?
I'm already bad at that. So pairing that with getting up early, I would have no chance at a career.
And then you would have to do makeup at like 2:45 in the a.m.
The 3 hours it takes to get makeup when you're a female.
Yeah. Man, I just blew past you I am so fast at getting makeup for SportsCenter. Just blew right past you. You had been in that makeup room for like 25 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
I came in, out, boom.
Yep.
Done.
It's not fair.
I'm fast.
It's really not fair. I'm coming back as a dude in my next life.
Yeah. Good luck with that because rashes are a thing too. Hey, that's not...
Moving on.
Moving that right along. We're going to talk with Bruce Arthur, the Toronto Star. We got Leafs to talk about.
Making a murder at some point in the show?
And
can I say to the fine people listening, if you don't want a spoiler, watch the show in the first month it comes out, because we're going to talk about it.
To be fair, it hasn't quite been out a month yet on Netflix.
It's been out long enough.
I got to
Google. When
days.
Did it come out?
I want to say December 17th, because I watched 10 episodes of it over a 36-hour span over Christmas, because what better way to celebrate Christmas than to talk about some injustice in the wacky American legal system. We can throw it if Bruce Arthur has seen it. We'll throw it out with him when we talk
He's watched it.
Toronto-style stuff. Mitch Berger's coming up this hour. We got so much to talk about in the NFL. I want to know from someone like Mitch who knows football, should I take Kansas City seriously? Because I haven't done that since Joe Montana was their quarterback. And should I take Carolina seriously because they have to play Seattle?
I think Carolina more so than Casey. Casey is so hot right now, but I look at them, I'm like, the Patriots have been there, they've done this, they're really good at doing this. Casey hasn't really done this in a long time.
And that's the thing, how it takes a long time to change kind of our mindset about a team. I was thinking about this today. What the New England Patriots now, they are, describe them as a franchise. They're basically the pinnacle of sports franchises.
Consistency and finding a way to win.
When they went to the Super Bowl against the Bears, the 85 Bears, how are they in this game? They were a joke.
Well,
a joke, and their owner would dangle his bits in front of female reporters and get sued. And now they are, you may not love the way they do it, but they are the pinnacle of football.
There may not
You're
be
thinking
any
about
bits
Victor
Kayan's
bits. Is that what we're getting at here?
Oh, gosh. But you know what? The way I look at the Patriots is if they were in the Pittsburgh Steelers' shoes this weekend, I would still think that maybe they had a chance to win. Because they're the Patriots. And they just figure it out.
Because they put Jonas Gray on the cover of SI last year, and then he was never to be seen again. They had, I think, six different people led them in rushing last year, so that would...
When Aaron Dobson is, like, one of your number one options, like, but yeah. Tom Brady still finds a way to be successful.
Yeah, Tom Brady, the coaching staff, I mean, everything in New England is set for success. The year they won, what, 11 games with Matt Castle and didn't make the playoffs, they still went 11-5, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're unbelievable, but they used to be a laughingstock. Mm-hmm. So every Cleveland Browns fan who might be around within earshot, yeah, you are, Andy, can think, hey, just in
Andy,
just,
you're a Browns fan.
In just 30 short years, my team could be something, except still the Browns, right? I mean, they were the team of Jim Brown. They used to be good in the 60s, yeah. Andy. Was it the 60s? It's 50s, 60s. Marion Motley is, good times.
I'm still trying to find this when this Making a Murderer came out.
Well, hit me up at DT on SC or at Kara_Wagland. In this era, when is it? Can we talk about Making a Murderer? The guys apparently on Leafs Lunch have a deal that they are not going to do it. They're holding off because, you know, some people have families and kids and stuff and can't put 11 hours into just a beautiful piece of maybe a little long-winded.
It's not that long, though. It's, what, 10 episodes?
Toward the end, it drags.
Yeah, but it's 10 episodes that are 45 minutes.
Oh, some are an hour five. Like, it's 11-hour commitment, sans bathroom breaks, and running to make yourself a sandwich. You know, whatever they might eat in Wisconsin, cheese. what do you do when you're framing a guy for murder? What do you eat? How do you live with yourself in that?
I don't know. It's just really infuriating to watch.
Yeah. Can you watch things now? Can you wait a week? Craig Button, as he was leaving, was saying,
we were just
isn't it weird you had to wait a week?
That.
I'm like, well, I wait a week for my shows.
So here's what I've started doing. So I jumped on the Scandal bandwagon. Do you watch Scandal?
That show is awful.
It's not awful.
It was amazing the first two seasons, and then it just became a soap opera.
It's a little soapy
and ridiculous.
Now. I'll give you that. It's a little
ridiculous.
Soapy now.
Ridiculous.
I'm not loving the latest season that's out right now, but I'm still giving it a chance. So I jumped on that. I just started watching it. So I binge watched the first, I think, four seasons. I think they're in season five now. So what I do is I'll set my PVR and I'll let like 2-3 episodes accumulate on my PVR so I can, because just watching one episode isn't enough.
Really?
So then I'll wait.
Wow.
And then I'll watch, you know, three episodes together or something.
I will save it on my Bell Fibe, or I'll be able to, you know, VOD it. But no, I watch it when I get home. I'm watching, boom, I got to see
really?
This. Absolutely. Come on. Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star, joining us right now. Bruce, what is it? Scandal. Is that a soap opera or is that a real television show?
Now, here is your first mistake. Well, first, I'd like to commend you both on doing this. And it's a beautiful video. You guys can't rely on your beautiful looks when you're on the air. It's got to be all the other stuff. So good job with that. But the first thing about a television show that doesn't involve sports, because I am at that stage in my life, and you will find this, because you are also younger people than me, you will find that once you have, like, kids and, like, a job and a half, the stuff on network TV becomes beautiful.
Oh, Bruce is in a bad spot. We're going to try and hook back up with him, get him a little better connection. He's making a good point. I have friends who have kids, and kids that play hockey. My buddy Dean has no time for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, to him, hey, have you seen blank? He goes, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. I'm at the rink. I respect that.
Yeah, for sure. He did miss the boat a little bit when he said we're still young. I'm still young. You clearly have jumped the shark, but.
Wow. See, and yet you make an old person reference like jumping the shark. Do you know where jumping the shark came from?
Originally?
Yeah.
No.
It was an episode of Happy Days.
How do you know this stuff? You are the most random, like...
Because I'm a nerd. Bruce, back with us. We changed topics briefly because Wags and I are all the place. Do you know where the phrase jumping the shark came from?
Of course I do. It comes from Happy Days.
There you go. There was an episode where Fonzie did some stunt where he water ski jumped over a shark and everybody went, what on earth is this? Happy Days is no longer a really, really good TV show. Apparently, it went downhill from there.
You mean the guy who directs movies who used to be on, like, a show? That guy?
I have to tell this story. I have to. Forgive me, Bruce. I hate to steal time from you, but I have to tell this story. I was riding. I did radio with the University of Manitoba Bison's football team for the longest time. And I was riding a bus with the guys, and I brought up Henry Winkler. And someone said, oh, you mean the lawyer from Arrested Development?
Yes.
And I just went,
this is what happened.
I'm so old because he's the Fonz. He banged the machine and the music played again, and now he's the weirdo perverted lawyer for development.
And again, I'm here to warn you, this is going to get worse, not better. Because you will get older, and what will happen is the heroes of your youth will actually die. And like, so imagine all the people that are like 10 years older than me that are in like their 50s. David Bowie dying, he was like the youngest, most transgressive, most amazing, most like world-shaking kind of different guy there was. And he was mortal. And then if you were a Motorhead fan too, let me decide. Right? Like, so like the young, nobody stays young. And this is, again, why it's good that you guys are doing radio, because it's proof that you're more than just your good looks, which I hate to tell you, over time, will degrade. I'm very depressing today.
I don't know about that, Bruce. I've been told there's lots of things I can do about that.
See, and I'm just happy that be it TV, be it radio, I get the fourth wall and nobody listening or watching gets a sense of my odor, because that's really where I'm concerned about.
And I don't have to worry about 3 hours of makeup, so it works for both of us.
How fantastic is that? So, Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star, you were with the Leafs this morning. They take on the Blackhawks tonight. Hayes was talking about this yesterday. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of panic, be it from Leafs fans or from the Leafs themselves. Their record's not great. Fourth worst in the league? But nobody's crying over it. Nobody seems too mad over it. Is that fair, Bruce?
Well, it's honest failure, right? Like, it's okay because, one, everyone expected this to be a bad year. But, two, they're doing it in a way that doesn't make you hate them. Like, if you watched the Leafs last year, that became a hard team to watch because the way they played the game was just awful, right? Like, they didn't seem to care. These guys care. They're just not very good, and that's okay because a lot of them aren't going to be around for a very long time. But the only thing anyone could talk about this morning was the Chicago Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Because if you're talking about the Leafs, we've all kind of done the stories on what the Leafs are. We all know. What they want to be is the Blackhawks, because if you look at who they drafted last year, they didn't draft guys who could make the Los Angeles Kings roster. They didn't like a bunch of Hulks, right? There's no Milan Lucic is there. They drafted a bunch of jockeys, as my friend Ray Pervero would put it. but what the Chicago Blackhawks are, they have some big guys, like Marian Hossa is a horse and guys like that. Mm-hmm. But Duncan Keith isn't a really big guy as a defenseman. And Jonathan Toews is a really big guy as a center. And Patrick Kane is one of the few little guys who isn't like who isn't crazy wide, who can still be a star in the league. And if you like Mitch Marner, his best case scenario is probably Patrick Kane. Dmitry Timoshov is probably in that same kind of boat. That's kind of what you're looking at. The trick is how do you build the core of superstar players the way the Chicago Blackhawks have? Because what they have over these three Stanley Cups, they've had about four or five great players with every iteration of them, and they've kind of been the same. It's been Kane, Taves, Keith, Marian Hossa, and then one other guy. And how do you get to that point if you're the Leafs? And that's why I think people aren't panicking, because they have the fourth worst record in the league. That's good. You want that. The worry I would have with the Leafs is that this team actually plays better than its record, and at some point they're going to have to start stripping talent away if they want to keep them at the bottom of the league, because the top three guys in this draft, the two Finns and Austin Matthews, are guys you want, and they're big. Like, the two Finns are big boys. Mm-hmm. And that would change the mix in terms of building a team going forward, because with the Leafs, we don't know how many stars the Leafs have in the stable right now. Guys who can be game-changing players. And the Chicago Blackhawks, if they're the blueprint, you got to find your Taves or your Kane or someone like that. And that is pretty much the hardest thing to do in hockey.
You do have to get lucky too, right? I mean, well, you have to be good at drafting, but you have to turn the 54th pick into Duncan Keith, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't happen, but you need to strike when you get the number one pick. You need to strike, get Patrick Kane. When you get, I think it was number three, mm-hmm. you get Jonathan Toews, Captain Sirius.
But Chicago's
the player everybody wants.
An exact example of how you do it year after year. Like what Bruce is talking about, you have your core, and then you add those pieces, and you know, okay, who's the guy you're going to walk away from this year, and how are you going to add that, replace that with another piece? The Chicago Blackhawks are in action tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. How big of a blowout is this going to be? Be honest.
Oh,
well, no, but here's the thing. Sometimes the Leafs did have that one blowout game.
Yeah.
At the end of the road trip. Okay, that's fine. But these guys stay in games. Like, if you talk to the Leafs, what they kind of do, what this team does, is they play the way the league works now. Is in the league, you don't get a lot of goals scored off the rush. It's mostly cycle stuff, get the net, which is why Mike Babcock's big on boxing guys out. And as long as they get decent goaltending, the Leafs can stay in games. They just can't finish plays, right? So I'm at the point now in my sports writing career where I no longer predict the outcomes of games because I've been wrong so many times. That's the whole thing about the Powerball, by the way. The Powerball is like doing a 30-team parlay successfully. Yeah. Imagine how hard that is.
Did you play the Powerball?
But the prize, brother. The prize.
I did not. No, but here's the thing. Can we do this for a second? Playing the lottery, it's a license to dream and all of that. And you can do that thing where I wonder, and someone does eventually win. Here's how I taught my kids about the lottery. Because my wife and I were talking about the Powerball the other day. We went, okay, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. What is it? And I asked the three kids who were capable of talking in my house. And all of them got it wrong. Like a 1 in 10. That's a great odds for a lottery. Imagine playing a lottery with 1 in 10 odds. 90% chance you're going to get it wrong. Now multiply that by approximately 30 million. That's the Powerball. That's what you're trying to do. Like, you have a better chance of getting hit by a falling meteor than winning the Powerball. And the problem with lotteries is it's a regressive tax on the poor. So that's I'm not anti-lottery. I just don't think people should play the lottery.
No.
Oh, it shouldn't be a thing. Because just for what you say, studies in the U.S. have shown that lottery tickets are bought more in poor zip codes. Because my wife and I were in Buffalo because we failed on a vacation over the Christmas. So we're like, oh, we're going to Buffalo. Forget it. We got American dollars.
The number one vacationing spot, of course, Buffalo.
Oh, it was amazing. I was in a gas station, pretty sure I was going to get beaten in some fashion. It's one of those ones with the glass and you got to prepay for everything and don't look me directly in the eyes. And some dude was like, $40, just $30, $20, just throwing down massive bills for a chance to win. And this was before it was carried over. It was $900 million. It just,
a mere $900 million.
Yeah, well, people. Well, 30% withholding.
By the way,
come on.
Yeah.
That's
the vacation sounds magical. I'm sure your wife is very happy about it.
Tell you
what. She's a lucky lady.
If you want to charm a lady, you take her to Walden Galleria.
Go to Olive Garden for a little dinner.
There's
not a lot of lines in the museums, though. That's one thing about Buffalo that I truly do appreciate.
It's American. They have different stuff, so it's neat to see it. Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star. I have to ask you talk about a little raps before we let you go. No big push for Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. Why are these two not leading when an All-Star game is in Toronto?
Well, I'm kind of surprised they haven't gotten Drake to do something about it, right? Because Lowry isn't that far behind.
He's got energy. Like, got a lot of energy. I mean,
He's 30,000 behind. And I don't care so much. I make it a rule not to care about All-Star voting, but this one actually does matter, and this is why. And this links into the London thing. One of Masai Ujiri's strategies in this league is he realizes that when it comes to stars, it's about recruiting. So he wants a profile. He wants the Raptors to matter. He wants them to be places where people see them. So he wants a Christmas Day game. Like, that's something that the Raptors organization wants. He wants to go to London because he thinks that's a bigger stage to have. And the All-Star game, the biggest thing about this All-Star game is this is an opportunity for the stars of the game to come to Toronto and for there to be not a recruiting pitch, but you get to be a part of the show. And if they can go, look, Kyle Lowry became a starting All-Star here. Kyle Lowry was nearly out of the league 3 years ago, nearly sent away for nothing 2 years ago. You can still be a star if you're in Toronto. This is the pitch that they're trying to sell. And that's why I would get Drake on the Twitters right now to start getting Kyle Lowry some votes, because DeMar's not going to get there on the votes, but Kyle could. So, Justin Bieber failed to move Chris Paul significantly. It's a traitorous move, but I don't care about Justin Bieber anyway. Let him keep him, like Ted Cruz. But in terms of Drake, he's our guy, right? Like, that's Toronto's guy. And I'm really surprised he hasn't done that yet, or hasn't even, he hasn't really touched it. That's something that I think might change in the days ahead.
Well, Bruce, as a way to help recruit folks to Toronto, be they professional athletes who could change the fortunes of our basketball team, all three of us will put our heads together. We'll put our top five gentlemen's clubs on Twitter. That can be out there. People will know, hey, when you come to Toronto for All-Star Game as an NBA player, and so you can go get some entertainment.
Hashtag Brass Rail? Like, is that what we're doing right now?
Hashtag this is why you want to work in Toronto.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing. One, I don't know what they are because I have four children. But two, I know of at least one player who left the Raptors, and when he did, some of the dancers of the Brass Rail wept. Honest
really?
To goodness, real life tears. Because that's the kind of customer.
That's a big hit on their income.
NBA players who come to town, of all the things they know, that's probably on the list.
Well, Jalen Rose, if you ever heard his champagne and campaigning segments he does on the podcast, he raves about Toronto and how it's one of his favorite cities to come and go out in.
Bruce, can I guess who it was?
Yes, you can.
Jean Tabac.
Yes.
It was Jean Tabac from the original Raptors, yes?
I'm afraid it wasn't.
I thought I had it. It's Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star. Thanks so much for joining us, Bruce.
My pleasure, guys. And stay as young as you can, as long as you can. God bless
Thanks,
you guys.
Bruce.
That sounds pretty good. Hey, it's the Brian Hayes Show with Derek Taylor and Kara Wagland. It's TSN 1050 online at tsn.ca. If CTV2 is doing a lip sync battle knockoff, Wags and DT, we're in for crisscross jump jump.
Because we're miggity 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 Mac.
Which one of us is the one who's deceased? Which one will be? I don't.
Probably you.
I don't know which one it is. Is it Chris or Cross?
And
whose jersey will you wear backward?
Knicks.
Really? Okay, I will go old
school. It's the only one I can remember. One of them wore a Knicks jersey. What did the other one wear?
I don't know, but I would probably go like old school Griffey with the blue and the one. Just because.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm just making it up.
The backwards hat goes with the whole crisscross thing. I like it.
TSN's Bob McKenzie reporting Arizona and Montreal making a trade. Jared Tenorti to Arizona. The return is Stephen Elliott and all-star game captain John Scott.
One assist in 11 games, John Scott.
All-star game. I don't know how to feel about that whole thing. I don't know what the all-star game's got to just let him go, right? Granted, he's in the other conference now, but you let him play for the West, right?
I mean, it's been the big story. I don't know. What are the implications?
For better or for worse. Hopefully Bob will get to that when he's official with the news. He says, to be clear, trade is not yet official, but those are the pieces at the time. He says the trade call is in the works. So John Scott, the Western Conference All-Star captain, is being traded to your Montreal Canadiens.
This is clearly leading SportsCenter tonight.
It's pretty neat news because of what the fans did to John Scott, whether you love it or not. McKenzie has 1.2 million followers on Twitter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Deserving every single one of them. Mitch Berger is going to join us. We're talking a little NFL. We got four games coming up in the NFL playoffs. KC, New England. The late one is Green Bay, Arizona, as Green Bay tries to make up for getting mashed in Arizona a few weeks ago. Seattle, Carolina in the game that I have absolutely no feel for. Carolina's 15-1. Seattle's gone to two straight Super Bowls and, I mean, barely escaped Minnesota.
And they're probably going to have Beast Mode back.
And they're traveling three time zones this week after traveling two last week. But I for some reason, I can't doubt Seattle.
Yeah, that one's kind of the weird one for me. I still would give it to Carolina, I think. I think they're pretty legit, but that's a tough one.
And Pittsburgh with a 1.2% chance now of beating Denver, with Antonio Brown being declared out, D'Angelo Williams being declared
out.
Mike
Tomlin is questionable now. I'm just
I think Mike Tomlin will play. The thing with Roethlisberger is you separate your shoulder. I haven't done it. People who have done it tell me it hurts. Okay, pain is very controllable in the NFL. Much of what they do is controlling pain. But if you can't throw the ball, if there's any weakness in the arm, that's going to change everything. And just maybe it's Landry Jones, Mike Vick, Bobby Brister time. Let's pick anybody.
It's Big Ben. He doesn't play through pain. He plays because of pain, and he enjoys it. Like, he'll take whatever shots he needs to take, and he'll go out there and he'll play. And I mean, as long as he can't end his career by playing with this injury, he's going to go out there, and he's got the whole offseason to recuperate.
Well, absolutely. And you'd have to kill most of these players before you get them a playoff game. Mitch Berger, former Steelers punter for the, I remember him in his Minnesota Vikings days. He's an NFL analyst. And Mitch is this correct, Mitch? You were the winner of Millionaire Matchmaker. Is that correct?
I don't know if you, there's a winner of, what? I would think my wife was the winner, actually.
Since
I was the one on the show and there's a bunch of girls to choose from, and my wife is the one I chose, I believe she won. But to be serious, I definitely won that one.
Exactly.
It was a one in a million kind of thing. I guess Millionaire Matchmaker was more for one in a million. And I got myself an amazing woman, and we've been married 2.5 years now. We got a 14-month-old little boy, Mitchell Jr., MJ, and
that's awesome.
Life is good. Yeah, life is congrats. Good for this former Steeler, and I hear we have a Steeler fan that is one of the hosts today.
Yeah, you know, I am. It's a sad day.
So sad.
I want to have hope. I really do. But, I mean, do you give them much hope going into the game against Denver?
That would be misguided.
Yeah.
it would be, unfortunately. Hey, I'm a Steelers fan since I was three. My dad was born and raised. Not only did I play and win one there, but my dad was born and raised in Pittsburgh. So I've been a fan since I was a kid. You know, Le'Veon Bell's gone. Angelo Williams is gone. Antonio Brown is gone. Three of the best weapons in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger has torn ligaments in his shoulder that he's supposed to be throwing with. They got a so-so defense. You know, they don't have a lot of great route runners outside of Antonio Brown. Heath Miller can't really make a big difference in a game like this. It's just they're coming to a gunfight with a slingshot, and I just don't think I think the one win was great. I think Pac-Man Jones and the Bengals helped end, I should say, Burfict, more specifically, helped end the Steelers' chances with knocking out Antonio Brown. And I think they did great this year. I think they had a good year. But one thing in the NFL, you have to be playing very well, and you have to be very healthy, and you have to be somewhat lucky. And they have playing well, they have lucky, but they don't have healthy.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, Mitch. There's a guy I follow on Twitter. He goes by Kurt the Bearded Geek. He tweets at NFL Draft Scout. I love him. I think he's one of the great NFL guys I follow. He said, there's no point in Ben even playing in this game. You don't have your running back. You don't have your second running back. You don't have your top weapon. You'd look for Brown, presumably, when that edge pressure from Denver is coming to tear your head off. His thing was, don't even play this week. There's no point. I don't think Ben's going to go for that, but do you go for that?
I don't go for that, and the Steelers don't go for that, and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't go for that, believe me. I think if there's a chance that something in his shoulder could hurt his career, and there's a chance that he could hurt it worse to where it's something he couldn't recover from, I think you don't play him. I think that's the case almost any time, but in this case specifically, because they are having an uphill battle, I mean, to win two more games on the road is going to be so tough for these guys. You know, they're going to come up with some stuff. You know, this week, Tomlin, look for a couple of fake kicks, fake punts, fake kicks, onside kicks. Anytime they see an angle, they're going to have to get a couple extra possessions. They're going to have to pull a rabbit out of a hat. They're going to have to win the turnover battle. They're going to have to play a perfect football game, whether it's Ben or Landry playing quarterback. And I just don't see it. I mean, I picked Seattle and Denver at the start of the season. I stuck with it at the start of the playoffs. And I really think Denver is getting healthy at the right time. I think Peyton Manning knocked off some of the rust. I think he's got a ton to prove. I think for him, at this point in his career, he is very healthy right now. And he has a chance to go against a very weak Pittsburgh Steelers team to knock more of that rust off, to get in a rhythm for the AFC Championship game. And I really think, just like everybody played for Ray Lewis back for Baltimore a few years ago and they made that run, I think Denver's, even though they're the number one seed, Denver is that team this year. I think Peyton Manning is going to play his ass off. I think he's going to play great and lead them to a Super Bowl.
I feel like there's no pressure, really. I mean, from my perspective on Peyton Manning right now, the Denver defense could pretty much win this game all on their own, given the state that the Steelers are in. You said you like Seattle, so you like them against Carolina this week?
Well, from what I saw last week, it makes it tougher to make that choice. But I'm kind of a believer. I'm a little old school in the fact that you got to knock the champ off before I can really give you your respect. And Carolina at every turn this year has somewhat done that. You know, I doubted Cam Newton all the way through. I haven't been a big fan. I'm starting to become a fan. I like his dancing. I like that he celebrates in the end zone. As long as you don't do it standing over a guy and to show a guy up, I love it. You know, to the victors go the spoils. But when you get into these games and you get a Seattle defense that is very healthy right now and playing very, very well, they can shut a team down, and they can shut an offense down, and they can go into a place like Carolina and shut these guys to 20, 10, 12 points. And if they can do that, Seattle has a sneaky good offense. They're the number four offense in the NFL, and people, I don't think, realize that. With Marshawn Lynch comes back and he runs anything like beast mode, that's going to help them a lot. But this defense in Carolina is so good, and the middle linebackers are so good, and they're so balanced. It's really going to be a matchup kind of thing in this game, and Derek Bevel is going to earn his money. He's got to have some misdirection. They really pursue fast. They over-pursue. Can they have some reverses, some misdirections, some throwbacks, maybe to Russell Wilson becomes a receiver. They're going to have to do a lot of special things on offense to try to generate some points, because it's going to be a very low-scoring game, I think. But I'm still going to take Seattle. And the biggest killer of great quarterbacks, maybe in NFL history to this point right now, is Russell Wilson. You look at his record against all the great quarterbacks. Cam Newton's not there yet, but as far as this season, he's a great quarterback. And when Russell Wilson plays against those guys, he beats them. You just look at the numbers. He barely loses to any of them.
And he just doesn't turn the ball over.
Well, and I think you're overlooking the contribution that John Ryan makes makes to that team, Mitch. Come on, you're a former punter. You know that John
the
Ryan.
He, the way he looked like he had no athletic ability, whatever, and smashed his face on the ground last game.
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, if I remember John Ryan when he was a punter in Regina, and I remember when he was a punter with the Bombers, that dude is an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is.
You know,
cut.
A lot of punters, a lot of kickers aren't because they're ex-soccer players, and they're, you know, I played with the Gary Andersons and these guys. They don't even know how to play football, anything outside of kicking a ball. When you get to punters, I was the same way. I played quarterback and safety all until college. A lot of the punters are actually good athletes, and I know John Ryan, and I know he is a really good one. It was just crazy. Once we get a chance once in a while to show us something besides kicking, and he smashes his face and almost breaks his nose and knocks himself out of the game. And then the St. Louis punter, who's the Pro Bowl punter, hits a Seattle guy on the ground. Great, you knocked a guy on the ground. Then when they come to hit him, he goes in the fetal position. And he brought
back
punter relations in the NFL for 20 years with going into the fetal position the way he did.
To be fair, Mitch, you run like, what, 6'4"? Like, you're an imposing-sized human being. It's not everybody's 6'4", right? Before we let you go, I got to ask you, I have questions. I'm with you on the Seattle thing because I just don't know what to expect from Carolina. I find it tough to buy Kansas City as well, and maybe that's just me because they keep beating everybody in front of them. But just historically and maybe everything else, I find it really tough to buy Kansas City. Do you buy Kansas City at New England?
Well, I buy that they're playing really well, and the sexy choice this week from everybody is that Kansas City is going to upset New England. And I understand. They have a great defense. They got a great pass rush. They got an underrated defensive backfield, great safeties. They got a great rookie corner. And so they're packing that, and that's big. But for me, you know, still, again, you got Tom Brady, the best franchise in the NFL over the last 15 years. You give Tom Brady and Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for a team to get healthy, and my X factor is Julian Edelman is back.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Edelman back for Tom Brady. That is maybe 6 or 7 third down catches that he doesn't have that he's going to get from Julian Edelman. And Julian Edelman is a stud. And now to have him, Gronk, and Amendola all catching the ball, I just find that the offense will be strong. I think they have an underrated defense, and I just think 2 weeks to prepare. The greatest quarterback of our era and probably all time now, I can't
Cam
go
Newton,
against them. Kansas City, I know they're hot and they're healthy, except for Jamal Charles. And the way they're not healthy is Jeremy Maclin. He might not be at full speed, and they need Jeremy Maclin to spread that defense. And I don't know if he's going to be healthy. But with that being said, I can't go against Tom Brady until I see it.
Do you think that experience is going to come into play here too? I mean, the Patriots have been here so many
times.
It always does. The Chiefs haven't. Like, that's what I kind of lean on. Like, as hot as the Chiefs have been, they got that 11-game win streak going. I agree I think their D is going to get to Brady in this game, at least to a certain extent.
Yep.
But for me, experience, like you talk about giving them 2 weeks to prepare, I just don't see the Patriots losing.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think you're right, and I think experience is big. And the reason why I've taken Seattle, the reason why I'm taking New England, you know, they're the old choices, but they're the people who have been there before. And believe me, when you're in these games and you're in the tough situations in the fourth quarter, be able to lean back on that experience and be able to play freely rather than being a little hesitant or a little scared or a little worrisome. That's the difference between winning and losing. And these teams that have been there before, you know they can do it. We don't know what these fresh teams can do. And that's why I don't really trust Kansas City, and that's why I don't really trust Carolina.
Do you trust Arizona?
I do. I trust Arizona to beat the hell out of Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers played terrible in the first quarter last week. I think the Redskins let him get back into it. I think when he was in the pocket, he didn't make any plays like he normally does. He made it all running around the pocket, running around extra time, 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw the ball. Arizona's defense is not going to allow him to do that. They'll come up with a different game plan. They'll try to run some different stuff, but still ends up being matchup on matchup. And if Seattle doesn't win, I believe Arizona Cardinals are going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to be Carolina. I like Seattle or Arizona. I think Arizona is fantastic. I think they're playing great. I think they got a ton of veterans. I think they've been in these big games against Seattle before that prepare them for a game like this against the Packers. I think they absolutely blast Green Bay.
I agree. I think as good as Green Bay looked in the second half of that wild card game, Aaron Rodgers, looking at him the past little while, he just doesn't look like a guy who believes that his team can win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, you know, Eddie Lacy's playing terrible. They can't trust him. losing Jordy Nelson, your number one receiver.
Yep.
You wouldn't think with Aaron Rodgers it'd be as big a deal. But Davante Adams, one key to this game, and I'll tell you, he played well last game. Davante Adams has been a huge bust for them this year, and they expected him to step up big with Jordy Nelson out, and he hasn't. He had a great game against the Redskins, but again, This is the Redskins we're talking about. We're not talking about the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are primed. Arians is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the game. They got the guys. They have all the horses. They have so many weapons on offense, so many weapons on defenses. They don't have Tyrann Mathieu, which is a big loss for them, but they are so deep in so many positions. The loss of him isn't going to be enough for the losses they've had in Green Bay this year. And the fact that, you know, I know they played good for a second half, but I just don't see that happening. They have not been playing well enough. Arizona takes care of them handily.
He is Super Bowl champion NFL analyst Mitch Berger. Mitch, which team wins the punting battle from here on in? Eight punters left. Who will be left standing?
I'll go with John Ryan since he's Canadian. John Ryan, as long as he doesn't fall on his face and there's not blood in his eyes so he can see the ball, he'll be the best.
Hey, if he throws another touchdown pass in the playoffs like last year?
Oh, man.
You know what? I would love to see that. And don't be surprised to see some razzle-dazzle, because when these tight games, you got to, hey, just like Saban did in the college national championship game, when you have these tight games and it's the difference between one play and two plays, special teams becomes a huge part in the NFL. And now that we're in the winter, you saw how cold it was, the laces out, all these things. These become huge plays, and the kickers become important, the return men become important. Don't be surprised to see a game or two decided by a special teams play this weekend.
Mitch, thank you so much for your time. Very much appreciated.
You got it. Anytime. Day.
Super Bowl champion, NFL analyst, and the winner of Millionaire Matchmaker. It wasn't a winning show, but he won. He found the woman of his dreams.
A little bit there.
Great man, great woman. I mean, what more could you want from a reality TV show?
You know what? Just to point out, we talked a lot about John Ryan. He has a fantastic Twitter follow.
Is he
really good? He's like a Brandon. I don't know if you follow Brandon McCarthy, Dodgers pitcher as well.
Yeah, yeah.
These are two guys that don't really tweet about sports. They tweet about really fun other stuff that is just entertaining.
Why do I not follow John Ryan?
I don't know.
On Twitter?
He's a great follow.
As he posts a photo of himself with the broken nose and the two slanted black eyes, saying, "You should see the other guy."
Yeah.
Oh, John. University of Regina to the NFL to a Super Bowl title winner and maybe a victory over Carolina. Give me your four winners.
I was just going to say, who are your four picks?
Okay,
Chiefs, Patriots. Who do you like?
Patriots.
Yeah, I think I'm going Patriots, too. The experience just tips them over
the
line for me. Green Bay, Arizona.
Arizona.
We both agree Arizona. I think that could be
a laugher.
Yeah.
Seattle, Carolina, Sunday early.
I'm still going to take Carolina.
Okay, I'll take Seattle.
Okay.
And Pittsburgh, Denver, come on, in the late game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be Denver.
It's Denver. We will see how it plays out on TSN 1050 this weekend. We have plenty more to come up. James Duthie will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Josh Lewenberg, TSN 1050's Raptors reporter as well. It's the Brian Hayes Show. It's DT and Wags on TSN 1050 and TSN.ca. Wags and DT, the Brian Hayes Show on TSN 1050. Perhaps you're listening on TSN.ca. Perhaps you're listening on the TSN Go app as I do, because the radio reception in 06 Hyundai Elantras is awful. We're very glad to have you with us. We're talking a little more football in the next hour. We'll talk some basketball with Josh Lewenberg, TSN 1050 Raptors reporter. James Duthie joins us at 3:30, where we're going to talk about virtually everything except hockey.
No hockey.
And Wags is trying to educate men on purse etiquette.
I feel like I'm different than most ladies, though. Like, I grew up in...
Oh, I can confirm that. Yeah, that's yikes.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into that. So that's a whole other long sort of conversation. I grew up with a mom who was like, okay, if you want something in my purse, go and get my purse and bring it to me.
Absolutely.
And I will get it for you. You have my purse sitting next to you. I just hand it off and say, have at her.
Yeah, and you know, you see I haven't gotten within like 12 inches of it.
What are men worried that they're going to find in there? Exactly?
I'm not worried about anything I might find.
Is it the tampon?
It's like, what personal is it? Space. I don't know. I would go and I would buy hygiene products for my wife at any drop of hat. No problem with that.
Oh, really?
I'm not doing it for
Are
you. We're just coworkers.
We're not there yet?
No, we're never going to be there. But no, it's personal space.
I don't know that most guys would do that, though. I don't think my husband would go and make those purchases for me.
Seriously? Why would anybody care? Why would anybody care?
Maybe if you could go
through. What are you buying tampons for? Well, what do you think I'm buying them for? Like, that's...
Well...
There's not a mental conversation, not a little head conversation in my head that I'm worried about.
So I think if you could go to, like, say, a grocery store where you're going through the self-checkout, he might.
No.
I don't know.
You got friends who need me to go pick some stuff up while I'm at Walmart, you let me know. I got you covered.
But if you had your wallet sitting there, I'd go through it. I don't. And if you said it was okay.
Okay. That's rude. But
rude.
Plenty of great stuff to still to come on the Brian Hayes Show. We have to take a little bit of a break. It's Derek Taylor, Kara Wagland from SportsCenter filling in one more hour to go for then Brian Hayes filling in on TSN Drive. You're listening on TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and TSN.ca.